When Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12 and his mother asked him why it is that he had dealt with them like he had by staying behind in Jerusalem. After the Passover was over, he spoke the words that we've been trying to work on over the past several weeks. And when he said, "How is it that you sought me? Why were you looking for me? And wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus said, "You should have known that I would be here and would be participating in the business of the Father, doing the Father's will, doing the Father's business. And those words that were spoken by our Lord, that is, that he had to be about the Father's business, are words that we've been trying to unpack and discover what they meant. And we've discovered that those words reveal the priority of Christ, that his priority is the Father's will, the Father's business above everything else. We've discovered that it reveals the person of Christ. The fact that he referred to God as his Father means that even at the age of 12, that Jesus understood that he is indeed the Son of God, a central truth of the New Testament. We also found out that those words reveal the purpose of Christ, why he is here. That is why he came into the world, why the Father sent him into the world. It is to do the Father's business. And we talked about what that meant, why it is that Jesus came into the world, what his purpose in the world was. And then for the past several weeks, we've been discovering what this phrase reveals about the people of Christ. And that is that our Lord gathered people around him that became his disciples. They became his followers. And out of those, he chose 12 to be his apostles. And out of those 12 were those three that were sort of the leaders among the apostles that became those who walked with our Lord closely and got to see things that some of the others did not, the people of Christ. And we discovered that after Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected and the day of Pentecost came and the Spirit of God moved, the people of Christ expanded. That is, there were many who heard the gospel and who turned to Christ and also were saved. And we've discovered that those very people are the ones that the Bible says that Jesus spoke to in John 20, verse 21. And he said, "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." In other words, just like the Father sent the Son into the world to do the Father's business, to do the Father's will, Jesus said that he's sending his people, his apostles, his disciples, he's sending them to do the same thing. And that is that the Father's business, that is the Father's will, is what we've been sent to do just as Jesus did as well. Now, the reason why that you and I are, as the people of Christ, are focused on the Father's business is not only because the Lord spoke those words, but also because he actually lives on the inside of us. And that is, at the moment of your conversion, God did something on the inside of you and he brought you to the point that you were emptied of yourself and you trusted in Christ and what he did on the cross. He came to live on the inside of you. That is, the Spirit of Christ came into your hearts, according to Galatians 4 and verse number 6. He lives in you. The very same one who stood in the temple that day and said, "I must be about my Father's business," lives on the inside of you. And for that reason, the people of God have a desire on the inside of them, like our Lord, that we have a desire to do the Father's business. And we see that exampled in the early church. That is, those believers in the book of Acts are the example for us, and that is, their purpose was to do the Father's business. That is, they spent a lot of time, like our Lord, they spent a lot of time in the temple area in Jerusalem after the Spirit of God came. And they were there doing exactly what our Lord was doing at the age of 12. They were doing the Father's business. So what is it that they were doing? That is, if they were doing the Father's business, if the people of God were doing the Father's business, what was it that they were doing? And you and I have discovered that one of the things that they did, one of their primary purposes, that is, in the temple area and throughout the city streets of Jerusalem, was that they were doing the work, the task of evangelism. That is, the Father's business is the business of evangelism. Let me just remind you again that on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came and dwelt on the inside, filled those believers, they immediately began to speak the Word of God. They began to share the Word of God. They did it in languages that they didn't even know. And then Peter stood up and he preached in a common language the gospel, that is, the good news about Jesus. They began to share with everyone about Christ. The reason why is because they were his witnesses. Now, when I say that they were his witnesses, I mean that they were eyewitnesses. They knew the Lord. They saw him. They knew him. They walked with him. They heard his messages. They saw his miracles. And they saw him as he suffered and died on that cross. And then they saw him after his resurrection the third day. That is, he met with them, he ate with them, he talked with them. They knew that he was alive. And the resurrection of Christ, as a reminder to you, proves that he really is who he said he is. He really is the Son of God. And that he really did what he said that he did when he went to the cross. He really died for our sins. The resurrection proves the reality of his person and also of his work. The resurrection does that. And they were witnesses that Jesus has risen from the dead. They were telling everybody, listen to me now, when you start telling everybody about the Christ that you've met and start telling everybody that indeed he died for us on the cross, he's raised the third day, then that is what evangelism is. And as they shared that good news about Christ, there were those who were pricked in their hearts. The Spirit of God moved upon them, pricked their hearts, dealt with them on the inside, and brought them to the point of realizing their sinfulness, realizing that they were under the judgment of God, and realizing they desperately needed Christ to save them and forgive them. And they turned to him from their heart and trusted in him, and they also were saved. What I'm trying to describe to you is evangelism. That's what the early church was doing, and the reason why they were doing it is because that is the Father's business. We've been trying to spend some time thinking about evangelism, and the reason why is because that's the business of God's people today. That is, if we're going to be about the Father's business, then we've got to be evangelistic. And that is, we've got to share the gospel. We've got to tell people about the Lord Jesus. Let me just remind you about the example of the early church. I preached to you a little bit about the people who were involved in evangelism. And we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that everybody got involved. Not only the apostles, but the deacons, the entire church. That is, evangelism is for everyone. We not only dealt with the people who were involved, but also the places where they went and did evangelism. And we discovered they went everywhere. They went into the temple. They went into the streets of Jerusalem. They went into homes. They went into the surrounding communities, into Judea and Samaria, and then into the Roman Empire on the missionary journeys. This not only was everyone involved, but they went everywhere sharing the gospel. We saw the people who were involved and the places where they went. And we also looked at the practices that they used. That is, what did they do? How did they do evangelism? We discovered that there was public proclamation. And that is, it was the people gathering and somebody preached to them the gospel. But there was also a lot of personal witnessing. And that is just one person telling another person about Jesus. And that's how they did the ministry of evangelism. We talked about the power that was behind their evangelism. And that is the power of the Spirit of God. The reason why they were so effective in their evangelism is because they were filled and directed and controlled by the Holy Spirit. The key to effective evangelism is the filling, controlling work of the Spirit of God in the lives of the people of God. So we looked at the people that were involved. We looked at the places where they went. We talked about the practices that they used. We looked at the power that was behind their evangelism. And then also we looked at the preaching that was the focus of their evangelism 1 week ago today. That is, what did they talk about? What was the focus of their preaching when they did evangelism? And we discovered that it was all about Jesus. They just talked about him. It was all about Christ. That is, it wasn't just a matter of promoting their church, even though there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, listen, it wasn't a matter of promoting the people in their church. They didn't go around talking about how great Peter is. They went around talking about how great Jesus is. That's what evangelism is. That is, it's all about telling people about Christ. We need to remember that. So I'm going to talk to you for a little while tonight about the process that was followed in evangelism. That is, there was a process to this. And that is, it wasn't just random, just go do evangelism. Jesus laid out for the early church the process that they were to use if they were going to be evangelistic. Now, the process is found in Matthew's gospel in chapter number 28, in a familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. But let's just remind ourselves for a few moments of this process that was used in evangelism. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 18, that right before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he spoke these words. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Notice here that there is a process that our Lord laid out for his followers. When it comes to evangelism, that is the sharing of the gospel, communicating the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a process involved. Let me just describe it to you in a few moments. And that is what the process begins by just recognizing the authority that God has given us. Recognizing the authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28 and verse 18, all power or authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, our Lord is confirming the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that he is the one who has all authority. Now, that's not a surprise to any of us. And the reason why is because of the fact that we know, because we've read the Gospels, we know that Jesus had authority over disease. All he had to do was speak, and disease had to obey his voice. We know that Jesus had authority over demons. All our Lord had to do was say the word, go, and they had to leave. Those who were demon-possessed to the point of insanity, ladies and gentlemen, the demons were cast out, and they were sitting and in their right minds. That is, he has authority over every demon, over every disease, over every demon. Listen, did you know that he even has authority over death? You do. I know you do. And the reason why is because, ladies and gentlemen, he walked up to a little girl of 12 years of age who was lying dead in a room, and he told her to rise, and she rose up and was alive. He stopped the funeral of a young man who was on his way to be buried, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible says he just spoke to him and told him to get up, and the man sat up, and he opened his eyes, and he was alive. Whether it was a little girl who'd only been dead maybe for a few hours, or whether it be a young man who'd been dead for maybe close to a day, but maybe it was an older man who had been dead for 4 days, had already been buried, and was lying in a tomb, a man named Lazarus, and our Lord, all he had to do was speak, Lazarus, come forth, and Lazarus came out of his grave. Now, nobody has that kind of authority, but he does. This is the one who could speak to the storm, peace, be still, and it would stop suddenly. He has all authority in every realm. He's the one who is the divine word that spoke and the world came into existence. He's the one, ladies and gentlemen, that one day will come again and reign on this planet. He is the one who has all authority, whether it be in heaven or whether it be on earth, in every realm. And this is the one who has said to us, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, the reason why this is so important when it comes to evangelism is for you to know that the one who has all authority has authorized you to do the work of evangelism. You say, Pastor, what I mean, God hasn't called me to be an evangelist. Well, listen to me now. What I'm trying to say to you is you've been authorized to be an evangelist. Now listen, you may not go around preaching in churches that we would think an evangelist to be, but he's authorized you to do the ministry of evangelism. You have the authority or the right, you have the authority and the right to tell other people about Jesus. Hey, whether it be where you buy your groceries, or whether it be where you fill up your car with gas, or whether it be in your neighborhood, or whether it be just the person that comes along and scoops out your driveway, you have the right to tell people about Jesus. You say, well, what if I'm in a place where they say you can't do that? And you just remember, the one who has all authority has authorized you to tell people about Jesus. You see, when evangelism begins, there's a process, and it begins with you and I recognizing that we've been authorized to do that ministry by the one who has all authority in heaven and in earth. This is the one who has more authority than every boss and every business owner. This is the one who has more authority than every government official throughout the world. This is the one who's creator God, who has all authority in heaven and in earth, who has authorized us to do this ministry. Now, if you get a hold of that, it'll help you. And the reason why is because I know how the enemy works. That is the devil. He operates through intimidation. That is, he's trying to intimidate you into not telling anybody about Jesus. He tries to intimidate those who are responsible for public proclamation, those who are responsible for teaching and preaching. He uses every tool that he can to intimidate them, discourage them, and try to get them not to share the gospel. And he does the same thing with those who have the responsibility for personal witnessing. And that is, he tries to intimidate you. He'll say things like this, not audibly, but here's the thoughts that he'll try to plant in you and plant in you. And that is, that you just don't know enough to share the gospel. You don't know enough verses. You don't know enough, you know, stories. You're just not worthy to share the gospel. You're not equipped to share the gospel. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that that is a lie. If you know the Lord Jesus, then you've got a story to tell. If you know what he did for you when he saved you, you've got a story to tell. If you can quote John 3:16, then you can be a witness. Just trying to tell you that he's trying to intimidate you into thinking that you don't know enough. He'll try to intimidate you in this way, and that is that you're just not worthy, and that is that God could never use you. It might be because of your background. It might be because of something you've done in your life that was not right or that was wrong, and the devil will try to use that to intimidate you and silence you. But the one who has all authority has authorized you. And he's always used messed up people. Everyone in the Bible that he used was messed up in some way. And he'll use you. You say, Pastor, I just don't know how to talk to people that well. Hey, listen to me now. Just open up your mouth and start telling them about Jesus. Just like you would tell them about your grandchildren. Just like you would talk to them about the weather. Just like you would talk to them about how cold it is, you can just tell them about what Jesus means to you and what he's done in your life. You've been authorized. Hey, listen to me now. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. He'll intimidate you through thoughts. He'll try to intimidate you through people. Don't let him do it. And that is, you've been authorized to share the gospel. As feeble as you might feel about doing it, share the gospel. He'll use it to touch somebody's heart, to expose them to the truth. And as unworthy as you might feel, you might look at yourself and say, I'm not worthy because I know how wretched I am. Share the gospel anyway. It's in God always uses wretches who've met him and been forgiven. What I'm trying to describe to you is the recognizing that you've been authorized. That's the first step. I'm talking about the process and that was followed in evangelism. Just recognizing, when you look at Peter sharing the gospel, you're looking, ladies and gentlemen, at a man who was all messed up. When you see him on the day of Pentecost preaching the gospel, when you see him witnessing from house to house in the city of Jerusalem, when you see that, this is the same man, ladies and gentlemen, that tried to get our Lord not to go to the cross. When Jesus said, I got to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer at the hands of the Jewish leaders, it was this man, Peter, that said, Lord, we'll never let anybody do that to you. We'll never let you go to the cross and suffer like that. And Jesus even turned around and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense, a stumbling block to me. Remember? The very one who tried to stop the cross in Matthew 16 is preaching the cross in the book of Acts. Now I'll tell you that I don't know what Peter's thoughts were because the Bible didn't give us that information. But don't you know there had to be times whenever the thought crossed Peter's mind and that is, I'm just not worthy to share the gospel. I can't believe that I did what I did. What is wrong with, what kind of a wretch am I that would try to stop Jesus from going to the cross? What kind of a fool am I? I have no wisdom. I have no insight. And no doubt, the devil would use that to say you don't have any right to share the cross when you try to keep Jesus from actually going to the cross. That's how he operates. This is the same Peter, ladies and gentlemen, the same one who, when it came, when Jesus was at that crucial point of being tried before the Jewish leaders, that Peter was in their courtyard and denied three times that he even knew him. After bragging so much that he would never deny him, that he would never forsake him, he denied that he knew him those three times. When Jesus looked at him as the cock began to crow, the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. So broken because of what he had done. When you look at your life, when I look at my life and you look at your life and you see those moments where you maybe didn't deny the Lord, but maybe it was something else in your life. Maybe it's some thoughts, maybe it's something you did, maybe it's a relationship you messed up, whatever it might be, but you look at your life and you and that thought comes, and or maybe somebody says it actually to you, and that is you're not worthy to even share the gospel. I'm going to say to you that don't allow the enemy to intimidate you like that. Don't allow him. You've been authorized. Hey, listen to Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. A man who tried to stop the cross, a man who denied the Christ. And God's still using him. Can you imagine? And he'll use you. No doubt there were times in Peter's life where the devil tried to intimidate him and his own thoughts. Maybe there were people that tried to intimidate him as well. Can you imagine? Just use your imagination. This is just my imagination. It goes a little crazy sometimes. Couldn't you imagine the guy walking up to him, say, "Hey, you Peter? Yeah, it's me. You remember me? I don't recognize you." I said, "I tell you the reason why you don't recognize me, because I got my ear on." And it was dark. "Hey, I'm the guy out there in the garden when you started swinging your sword and you cut my ear off." Anybody who would do something like that shouldn't be out here talking about Jesus. Now, I don't know if that ever happened, obviously. But if you use your imagination, you can see something like that happening. Can't you? Listen, Peter was not going for the ear. He's not that good. He's a fisherman, not a swordsman. He was going to try to cut his head off. He was defending our Lord. He was swinging that sword. Anybody with that kind of anger problem, anybody with that kind, ladies and gentlemen, of ability to do something like that, anybody capable of doing something like that shouldn't be standing up in a crowd of thousands of people and preaching the gospel. You can just imagine how many things that Peter could have been intimidated about. So many more. So many more. And you might be in the same kind of situation or similar. Intimidated into silence. That's how the enemy works. And here's what I'm trying to do is encourage you to just say to you that if God authorized Peter and can use him, he's also authorized you and wants to use you. In the ministry of evangelism, sharing the gospel, just telling somebody else about what you know about Jesus and about who he is and what he did for you and his death and his resurrection for us. I'm trying to get you to recognize the authority. That is, there's a process in evangelism, and that's where it begins. If you don't get a hold of that, then you're not going to be very evangelistic. You're going to be intimidated. The devil's going to intimidate you. People are going to intimidate you. You're going to start witnessing to somebody, and they're going to look at you and say, "What gives you the right to tell me that?" And you can just say, "Jesus did. He authorized me and sent me to share the gospel with you." And you can keep on sharing. When you meet somebody that's resistant to the gospel, and that is, they don't want to hear it, maybe they kind of just let you have it and try to discourage you and intimidate you into silence instead of walking away and giving up, you can keep going on if you'll recognize the authority that we've been authorized with. I'm trying to get you to see the process that begins with recognizing this authority. The second thing I want to speak to you about, not only recognizing this authority, but also I want to speak to you about engaging in teaching. You see, the Bible says here, after Jesus said, "All power, authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore," and the therefore means on the basis of that authority, recognizing that authority, go and teach all nations. And that teaching there is the command. That is the command, is to teach all nations. That is, teach them what? Well, teach them or share the gospel with them. Teach them about Jesus. And you and I need to engage in teaching. You say, "Pastor, I'm not much of a teacher," but sure you are. Sure you are. Whatever your interest is, you can tell somebody else about what it is that you're interested in. Some of you might like fishing, and so you can tell them all about the process that you went through when you caught that biggest fish that you caught, the one that's maybe hanging on your wall, or the one that you have a picture of. You can probably tell them the details about the bait that you used and where you was at and give that to them. You know what you're doing? You're in the process of doing some teaching about fishing. Some of you might like to cook. Now, that's not me. But I have a lady that lives in my house, just one, and she indeed is a good cook. And I got the evidence of it. I can prove it to you. And in the wintertime, she tells me, said, "This is the problem," because in the wintertime, she tells me, "I really like to cook. And the problem is that I really like to eat." And so she likes to cook and I like to eat. And you know what happens after that? And you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Hey, you've been putting on some weight," and all that kind of stuff. That, you know what I'm talking about. And listen to me now. And she's a great cook, and she can teach how to cook. She loved to do that when my kids were growing up. They would be right there in the kitchen with her while she was cooking. And even when they were little, she set them right up on the counter, and they learned how to cook. Mama taught them how to cook. She loves it when we have our grandkids at the house, and the reason why is because when they're at our house, especially if they spend the night at our house, she's cooking and she's cooking and she's cooking the favorite things that they like as well. And listen to me now, she involves them in the process, and they learn how as well. She's teaching them what she knows about cooking. She's tried to teach me a little bit, but she's only been a little bit successful at that. So, but teaching. Now listen to me now. Those who know how to cook can teach somebody else how to cook. Those who know how to fish can teach somebody else how to fish. Hey, those who like to hunt, they can teach somebody else how to hunt. Now listen, and those who've met Jesus can teach somebody else about how to meet Him. And that's what the Bible is telling us here to do. Recognize the authority. You have the right to do this. And then teach. Tell somebody else what it is that you've learned about Jesus. Hey, the reason why my wife is such a good cook is because she learned how to cook. As a little girl, she learned how to cook. And the reason why that some of you know how to fish is because you learned how to do it. The reason why that some of you know how to hunt is because you learned how to hunt. And what you learned, then you can share with somebody else. And that's teaching. When I teach the Bible, I'm teaching to you what I learned. And that is that I've studied the Bible, and what I'm preaching to you tonight is something that I've studied, I've looked at, I've wallowed around in my mind and in my heart over the last several days, and it's just kind of built up on the inside of me. I'm trying to get out of me what's been building up on the inside of me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. My wife's been into baking bread here lately, making homemade bread, and she gets this bread that she has all ready to go. Whatever she does with it, it's in the refrigerator. And then she gets it out at a certain time. She puts it in a bowl, and it's sitting on the stove. And this little bit of stuff that she has in the bowl, after a little while, it's filling that bowl up. And before long, the little towel she has over is starting to puff up. And then at a certain time, however she does it, she puts it in the oven, and she bakes it, and we have this fresh bread. Ladies and gentlemen, even so, you and I can share it is, what it is that we know about Jesus. Just telling other people what we know about Him. That's what teaching is. What do you know about Jesus? Tell somebody else. Teach them about it. Share it with them. That's what you're doing. That's what it means. That is, we gotta recognize the authority. You've been authorized. You have the right to do this. So you and I need to engage in teaching. Getting busy, doing what it is that God's telling us to do, sharing the good news, the gospel, telling people about Him. And that's what I do. That is, when I'm standing and teaching, I've just learned what I've learned. It's been building up on this. It's kind of like that bread rising in that bowl. It just gets rising on the inside of me, rising on the inside of me, and rising on the inside of me. There just comes a point that you got to put it in the oven and bake it, ladies and gentlemen. Even so, when you've learned something and learned something and learned something, when you've studied it and studied it and studied it, there's something that begins to rise on the inside of you that you just want to share it with somebody else. And it's good when you do. When that bread is done, my wife, she'll cut off a slice of it, she'll put some butter on it, and she'll bring it to me to ask me what I think about it. And so I eat that slice of bread, and I say, give me another piece, I need to think about it some more. Exactly. And that's what teaching is. And that is, when you learn something, and it's just building, listen, when it comes to God's people, as the gospel means so much to us, and we learn the gospel, we know the Lord, and it just kind of builds and builds and builds in us, and at some point, we've just got to share it with somebody else. I'm trying to describe to you this process that's followed when it comes to evangelism. That is, there's the authority. We need to recognize this authority that God has given us. We need to engage in teaching. And then, ladies and gentlemen, we need to go with the plan. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says here in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, we got to get up and get going. Go. The idea of going is in, ladies and gentlemen, moving with the gospel and engaging with the gospel. We've got to go with the plan. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark's gospel, we read similar words in Mark 16, 15, where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's the idea of moving with the gospel. Not sitting on it, but moving. Now listen, we're a bunch of going people, aren't we? One of the things I've learned about us Baptists is when it comes time to go, we get our shoes on. And we get up and go. Somebody said, we're going to go out to eat, and y'all ready? Hey, where are you going? And somebody says, we're going on a little trip down to Smoky Mountains. And somebody says, where did you sign up at? I want to go. Around your house, if somebody puts their shoes on and gets ready to go, you want to know where they're going. And you might get your shoes on and go with them. Hey, we all like to go. Going somewhere, even if it's really nowhere, we just like to get up and go. Some of you just get in the car and go nowhere. Just ride around. I know you probably didn't do it this weekend, but I know there are times whenever you just get in the car, because I know some of you told me, said we just got in the car and we just rode around. Just looked at things. One dear brother who's in this room took me on a ride not too long ago, and we just went and looked at things. Didn't really go anywhere until we ended up at the restaurant and got a nice piece of pie. But nevertheless, we were just riding around and looking at things, just going somewhere. Listen to me now. The idea of going is you and I deliberately going with a purpose in mind, and that is to share the gospel. You got to go with the plan. Can't sit on it. You got to go. Don't put it off. Go. Go with it. Some of you know what I mean, and that is you need to go somewhere and you just keep putting it off. That is, maybe you need to go to the store and you need to get something from the store. You're about out of it. It might be bread that you're about out of, and you think, I need to go get it. I need to go get some bread. And then the storm hits, and you said, I wish I'd have went and got some bread. You just keep putting it off. You should go, but you keep procrastinating, and you don't go. Listen to me now. You just set on it and don't go. When it comes to being evangelistic, you got to get up and go. You just got to do it. You say, Pastor, one of these days, I'm going to share the gospel with somebody. Just go. You don't have to wait till everything's perfect. Just go. Just teach. Anyone who will listen. Anyone you can engage with. And the Bible says all nations. It just means everybody. Doesn't matter who they are, what their background is. Doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if they have a house or homeless. Just tell everybody that will listen to you about who your Lord is. That's what evangelism is. You see, I'm waiting for a big crowd to gather. Don't worry about the big crowd. Just share with whoever you're around. That may be the very person that God's been dealing with. You might be like Philip, and it may just be an Ethiopian eunuch, just one person. But wow, what a door that must have opened. That is, there's a plan you got to go with. That is, just go and teach all nations. And then the Bible says that those who believe, that it'd be baptized, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse number 19, go and teach all nations, and those who believe are to be baptized. And that is, when they're baptized, they are publicly proclaiming, publicly revealing that they're now a follower of Christ. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an outward testimony of what God has done on the inside of us. Evangelism. If you go with the plan, that means you're going to go, you're going to teach all nations, you're going to baptize those who believe. And then the Bible says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, in verse number 20, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. The idea, ladies and gentlemen, is going, the idea is teaching, the idea is baptizing, and then teaching them to observe or do all the things that I've commanded you. And I'll preach on that in another message coming up. But here's the idea. And there's those who believe are to be baptized and they're to be taught. All the things that Jesus commanded the apostles, all the things that Jesus told them, they're now to teach others what Jesus told them. That's the plan. Now notice with me, the Bible tells us here in verse number 20 that, listen, we're to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Recognize the authority. Engage in teaching. Go with the plan. And remember the scope. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible tells us here, ladies and gentlemen, that this evangelism includes every nation and every generation. You know, when the Lord spoke this, when the Lord said this, when he said, go and teach all nations, did you know that our nation didn't exist? This nation didn't exist when Jesus said that. This nation is 250 years old. This was spoken some 2,000 years ago. And some of you might look at that and might think, well, this is for the apostles and the early church. That's what that's for. It's for them to evangelize Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the earth at that time on Paul's missionary journeys. That was for them, but why our Lord makes sure that you and I know that the scope of evangelism is not limited to the early church, and it's not limited to just the area that was evangelized by the early church, but it's all nations. And do you know the Lord looked down through time? Because he is omniscient, because of his foreknowledge, he's able to look down through time, and he knew that there would come a time in the last days that there would be a nation that would rise, this nation, in the last days. A nation where the gospel would be preached. A nation that would be shaken by great spiritual awakenings. A nation where churches would be started and built. A nation where preachers would be called, missionaries would be sent from. God raised up a nation, ladies and gentlemen, that would respect the gospel and allow the freedom for churches to do the work of evangelism. And listen, you and I are living in that nation in these last days. And with that privilege, you say, I'm so glad that we live in this nation. A nation where the gospel is able to be preached and you can go to church and you don't get arrested like other nations are, and where preachers can preach and missionaries can be sent. I'm glad we live in this nation, and I know that every one of you are thankful for it. But with that privilege comes a tremendous responsibility. With the freedom that we have comes the responsibility of sharing the gospel. If there's anyone in the world that ought to be sharing the gospel and be evangelistic, it ought to be us. It ought to be us. Because of the Bible preaching that we've enjoyed, because of the churches we've been able to be part of, because all the things that we've learned about the Lord Jesus, because of all the opportunities that we have. Listen, think of all the opportunities that we have. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. You've got a telephone. People call you and they think they're calling by mistake. They're not. They think they're going to try to sell you something, but you got something better to offer to them. Think about those of you that are on social platforms, and there you are looking at everything that everybody puts on their Facebook page or other social platforms, or whether it be the little movies they put on there, that is, the videos they do, and you're watching all of that. Think about how God could use you in those same areas. In other words, instead of just telling somebody how cold it is at your house on your Facebook page or social platform, why don't you tell them how wonderful your Lord is? Those who are part of a Bible-believing church can get involved in teaching the gospel, whether it be to little children or whether it be to teenagers or adults. Just getting involved in sharing the gospel. You see, evangelism, and that is this process that the Lord gave, it's not just for the apostles, it's for all nations, and it's for every generation, and that includes us. And it especially includes us. When Paul preached the gospel, many times he got arrested and thrown into jail, ran out of town. And yet he kept going. How much more so should we? If the early church went from house to house, in the temple and every house, they ceased not to preach Jesus Christ under the threat of persecution, how much more so should we, who have this freedom, this privilege that we have? Even more than the early church, we should be engaged in evangelism. Listen, you've been authorized. Recognize that authority. Engage in teaching. Go with the plan. And remember the scope. It includes all of us. God wants to use you, not somewhere down the road, but now, just to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm trying to get you to see the process that was followed in evangelism. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and your people and what you're trying to say to us and how you're working on the inside of us. God, I pray, Father, that you move in our hearts and stir us on the inside. And God, I pray that you help us to see your purpose, Lord, that your plan for us is not just to become wealthy and popular. God, it's not just to try to make a big name for ourselves. It's not, Father, so that everybody will recognize us when we walk into a room. But God, it's for us to engage, Lord, in the great opportunity and privilege that we have, and that's to tell people about somebody who's so wonderful, so great. Somebody who could calm the storms and cast out the demons and raise the dead, and one who could cure diseases and who went to the cross and died on that cross and has raised and ascended to the right hand, is coming again someday to rule and to reign. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, not to be intimidated by the enemy, not to be shamed because of our backgrounds, but God, to be bold and to be engaged, Lord, in what you've called us to do, Father, to share the gospel. Father, use us for your glory. We surrender ourselves to you. God, we pray that you help us to see the opportunities that abound around us, every place that we go. God, every person that we engage in, either personally, online, or in other manners, God, is an opportunity for us to share just as much as we can about you. Use us for your glory. We surrender ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here.